You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Wednesday, June 22nd, and we are talking Cardinals baseball today with Rick Horton, the Cardinals TV and radio broadcaster. Rick does a little bit of everything. And, Rick, as we speak right now, I got to think the Cardinals fans are feeling as good about their team now as they have at any point during the 2016 season, and with good reason, because, again, as we speak at this moment, the Cardinals are coming off a great three-game sweep of the Cubs at Wrigley Field. That is no small feat. And, Rick, the game today, they defeated them 7-2. As I said, they swept the three-game series, and they really made Jake Arrieta work his tail off. I believe his pitch count was around 100 after only five innings. That's as long as he went. They worked deep counts, fouled off tough pitches, laid off some borderline pitches, and they did a masterful job against one of the very best in the game. And again, Rick, as I said, I got to think that the Cardinals and their fans feeling as good about their club as they have at any point so far this season.
Well, you're absolutely right, Matt. And, you know, of course, when you beat the Cubs, if you're a Cardinal fan, it doesn't really matter whether it's, postseason, midseason, spring training, or no matter where the teams are in the standings, there's something special about that. It's really a great rivalry, the Cubs and the Cardinals, and the Cubs have a fantastic team. They really are good. The pitching's good. You come into Chicago, you're going to face Lackey and Hamill and Arrieta, and you come out with winning the series, winning all three games. It's just amazing that the Cardinals were able to do that. Their starting pitching was good in this series, too. Cubs, not an easy team to beat anywhere, but especially here at Wrigley Field. So Cardinal fans are as thrilled as they've been all season long. With a team, by the way, that's a little frustrating to figure out. The Cardinals team has been up and down some, but right now they're on and up.
They certainly are on and up, and a three-game sweep for the Cubs will certainly do that and improve the mood and the attitude of the players and the coaches and the fan base alike. And, Rick, as you said, that, Jake Arrieta gets all the attention, and rightfully so, but not to be overlooked, the performance today of Michael Wacha. And as you said, you know, this Cardinals team and this Cardinals pitching staff, very tough to figure out. You know, Wacha will show glimpses of his former self, if you will. Then he'll have a couple of really tough starts in a row. That obviously not the case today. He was spectacular. Kind of break down his performance for us. And did you see signs today that maybe he can finally find some traction and regain that consistency that he was known for in his first couple of years as a big leaguer?
Yeah, I think some of that traction actually started in his last start against Texas, where he gave up just one run. Texas, a very good team. Obviously, the Cardinals got swept at home, but Wacha gave up just one run in that game. He gave up an Odor home run, but he was sharp and he was right on time. What I liked about him, Matt, was he was pitching downhill. The velocity was there. He's throwing 94 today in the mid-inning. But beyond that, his changeup looked good. It had the power changeup feel that we'd seen when Wacha was an all-star a year ago, and he broke on the scene and pitched so well in October. The changeup is really a dominating pitch for him, but if the fastball command is not there, the changeup doesn't work as well, and that's kind of a pitching 101. But for Wacha, it's clearly the case, and the fastball command was better today. The changeup was good, and Cubs lineup is young, but they're powerful. They have guys that don't chase very much, a lot of walks on this team, but Wacha had it straightened out. First time he's won in almost 2 months today. So long time coming for Wacha, but he has pitched better. Last few times out, and the Cardinals staff overall has had quality starts now in either 11 or 12 straight games. So they're starting to turn over the rotation now, which is what they've been missing most of the year.
And baseball's a funny game where you go 2 months, as you said, without a victory, and then when you do get that victory, the guy you beat, some guy named Arrieta. So
yeah, amazing. You know what's funny? The game's funny. Sometimes we always say it's a funny game. Sometimes it's funny, haha. Sometimes it's funny, aggravating. So I mean, either way, I mean, if you're a Cardinal fan trying to figure things out here, it's been more funny, aggravating of late than funny. Certainly, Arrieta. I was looking forward to watching him pitch today. He didn't really disappoint. He's a fantastic talent.
He really is. And hats off to the Cardinals in that lineup for making Arrieta work as hard as he did. He got out of a couple of jams, then the Cardinals got those couple runs off Arrieta, done after five, and then really feasted on the middle relief to kind of break it open and eventually win 7-2. And you know, when you kind of take the temperature of both these teams and this rivalry, you know, it's no secret that the Cubs, they're the darlings this season. They're the runaway team. They still got a mile and a half lead on everybody in the NL Central. That may not change. But at the same time, I think that, you know, for the Cardinals, this was a statement series. You know, they were guaranteed a series win before today. They got the cherry on the sundae by sweeping. I mean, do you kind of get the feeling that the Cardinals' attitude is, you know what, the Cubs are great, they're getting the attention, and rightfully so, but hey, don't forget about us. I mean, you know, we're not tearing the cover off the ball right now, but we're still the three-time defending NL Central champions, and we're not gonna lay down here for anybody.
Well, that's exactly how I kind of closed out our broadcast today on the Cardinal Radio Network. I was talking about what I think has happened in this series. Not that the Cardinals have said we're better than the Cubs right now, that the Cubs don't deserve to be there. I mean, the Cubs are good. I mean, they're flat-out good, and it's going to be hard to catch them, for anybody to catch them. But what I think the Cardinals did is they reestablished themselves in their own minds and in the minds of their fans and maybe in the minds of baseball people that the Cardinals are not a team you can ignore. And so they've been reestablished as a power team in the National League, and I think they were kind of on the precipice of that. You know, they're flirting with 500 a couple of times, and you know, the pitching is going to have to drive this team's ability to stay competitive and stay up among the elite. And I don't think Cardinal fans ever like the thought of saying that the Cardinals are not in the elite category. And whether they win or not, they want to play in October and they want to be relevant in September and October. And I think this series maybe proved to a lot of people that that's still a possibility and still should be the case. And maybe even proved it to some of the players who, you know, when you get beat down often enough, you start to doubt yourself a little bit. But I don't think there's any doubting now.
Yeah, absolutely not. I think this series opened a lot of eyes outside of St. Louis to the fact that, you know what, the Cardinals, I don't want to say they're back because they never really went away, but they are going to be a formidable foe for the Cubs and anybody else in the National League here in 2016. And maybe this series propels them to even bigger things coming up down the road. Rick, for all the good of the past 3 days with the Cardinals sweeping the Cubs, there was some not so good with regards to Trevor Rosenthal. Now, the numbers say he did pick up a save in each of the first two wins of the series, but digging beneath the surface, it was a little bit murky. He definitely walked the tightrope in each of those save opportunities, and he's had some struggles not just in this series but throughout the month of June. When you look at Rosenthal right now, can you pinpoint the struggles to one specific area, or is it maybe a blend of a couple of things that are just kind of all combining to kind of rear their ugly head for Rosenthal right now?
Yeah, I think it's always a blend of a couple of things, but the real question is where does it start? And, you know, confidence is always an issue. I think fastball command is always an issue. I'm talking about any pitcher, really. But when does one bleed into another and which one comes first is often hard to figure out, even if you're the guy in the body of Trevor Rosenthal trying to figure it out. He was much better here yesterday, but still kind of had a command issue that went away for a second, and then, you lose maybe the feel that, look, I'm the dominant guy, and I'm going to go out there and just, you can't hit me. And so it's not arrogance, but it's confidence that a closer has to have. I don't know which comes first, but certainly his ability to throw strikes and be ahead 0-2 instead of being behind 2-0 on guys, that's where he needs to be. And his stuff is not, he hasn't lost his stuff. His changeup's really good. Throws high 90s, up to 100 at times. So that hasn't changed. The question is, is he going to make enough good pitches? And when you're a closer, you might throw 15 pitches, and three of them better not be bad ones, or you end up with a loss or a blown save. So he has to be more consistent than the next guy. And the last couple of weeks, it hasn't been right for him. But I know the manager has not, Mike Matheny has not lost confidence in him. He's going to keep putting him out there, and he keeps using the word confidence, which I think maybe is a word to focus on. He keeps saying, look, he needs to believe that he's the guy, because as far as I'm concerned, he is.
Now, that's interesting you bring up Mike Matheny, because, again, you know, only Mike Matheny truly knows what Mike Matheny is thinking. But if you have to, you know, try to get in his head a little bit, if we see a couple more shaky outings for Rosenthal that maybe result in blown saves, what is the likelihood that he could make a change in the ninth inning and replace Rosenthal? Or do you think he is committed to this guy no matter what? What do you think? How do you think this could shake out if Rosenthal continues to struggle?
I wouldn't say no matter what, because I think there's always the case of, if Trevor has a couple of more bad games in a row, maybe he would change his mind. But I think right now he's committed to Trevor. There are other options in late innings. Soohwan Oh and Kevin Segrist have been very good late. And Jonathan Broxton's had some good games and some experience in that. But I think Mike believes that Trevor Rosenthal. Things set up better when Rosenthal's that ninth inning guy, when O is in the seventh or the eighth, and Segrist is in key moments. And Segrist is a big part of this Cardinal bullpen, too. He doesn't get a lot of the acclaim, but he gets a lot of the important outs, as he did yesterday. And there's no signs that he's faltering right now. And, of course, came to shove. I don't think he'd hesitate to use him. I just don't think he's ready for it yet.
That's going to be a very interesting development to see how it shakes out over the next couple of weeks for sure. And, Rick, I want to get your thoughts, too, on a very interesting development in center field. Of course, Colton Wong was recently sent to AAA, and the plan was to get him some reps in center field because the Cardinals thought he would have some value there and some versatility, not only as the infielder he's traditionally been, but also to, you know, fill in as an outfielder from time to time. Well, next thing you know, Randall Grichuk is demoted. He's hitting barely over 200, really struggling in 2016. So he gets sent down. Wong comes back up. He's played center field, I think, rather well. It's been a small sample size, but I think he's held his own out there. But were you surprised that, you know, this whole thing developed as it did? Because I thought that the original plan was to keep Wong in the minors for at least a little while to really get him some reps in center field. But now he's back up lickety split with the Grichuk demotion. What's your take on this whole thing?
Well, I think that might have been the original plan, but it changed quickly with two things. First, Colton swinging the bat so well so quickly in AAA, and secondarily, Randall Grichuk spiraling a little worse. And I think Randall's got a great future, but he was really struggling and needed to kind of get his confidence back, needed to get his footing back in AAA. So I think a couple of things just happened at the same time. Biggest problem for Colton Wong was breaking in a glove quickly enough. Compete at the big league level, he had to try to find somebody to get him a baseball glove that actually was game ready when he hadn't been working at that position for quite some time. He does have experience in college as a center fielder. He can do it. He's got the speed for it. He's got to get the reps and all that, which is clearly an issue. But I do like the way he's swinging the bat. He has been much more aggressive, and he has not been chasing at the plate. So I think he's just forced the hand, forced the issue, and if he keeps swinging, he keeps playing.
Absolutely, and it's been a fit so far. Now, what's interesting is that the whole reason this came about, you know, the experiment of putting him in the outfield is because he was kind of the odd man out in the infield. When Johnny Peralta got healthy, he's back in the fold. Matt Carpenter moves to second base. You've got Matt Adams holding down first base, Aledmys Diaz at short. So Wong is the odd man out there. Now, let's say that Grichuk comes back. He finds his stroke. He finds his rhythm back in AAA. He's back in the fold at the big league level. Is it going to be a similar situation where, again, somebody's got to be the odd man out in the outfield mix now?
Well, I think that's kind of been the case all year. The Cardinals have hit very well collectively as a team, but have had the issue you're talking about all year. How do you play Matt Adams and Brandon Moss at the same time? You can't. I mean, it's just hard to do that. And Mike Matheny's been creative in at least getting guys half games, or, you know, taking Holiday out, getting a couple of at-bats for one of those guys late in the game, and trying to keep guys as sharp as you can. Cardinals, by the way, are hitting .370 as a team off the bench. That is unheard of. 10 home runs, 40 RBIs. This is a team that's got some good, productive players off their bench. They're just not kind of extra guys that can't play. So I think Mike is going to have one more battle, as you say, if Grichuk come back strong. And I know they're hoping for that because Randall, again, has a big upside, and he can do some things. He can hit ball further than anybody on this Cardinal team when he's right.
Yeah, bears mentioning for fans that aren't aware that the number one offense in the National League, not the team in Chicago, the team in St. Louis. The Cardinals have the top offense. They've had it since day one. They are raking this season, and now that the pitching is starting to come around, maybe Cubs fans should not feel so comfortable, especially on the heels of this three-game sweep today, which the Cardinals finished off at Wrigley Field. So good times for the Cardinals, and hopefully more to come, and that's a good place to wrap this one off. Rick Horton pinch hitting today for Jennifer Langosch, and Rick, after just getting off the air, we really appreciate the time, and hope we can do this again soon, so thank you so much.
We'll do it, Matt. Good to chat with you. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you again. Rick Horton joining us here for Cardinals Talk, and we'll do it again next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.